With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
That made a very pleasing noise.
Yeah. It's good, wasn't it?
What a shot.
There's only one way to beat them. Get round the back. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the World Cup Ramble, sponsored by Bet365. My name is Marcus Speller and Luke Moore is here.
All right.
Jim, God save our gracious queen.
That's Jim Campbell and that is Pete Donaldson.
Yeah, right, mate.
This is what
people who are not from England think that England football podcasts are about.
Yeah. Let them
we're
think
just
it.
Going, yes.
We thought we were better than that, but
Pete,
we're not.
Stuck it in the back of the net, so what were you worried about?
Oh, I haven't had that feeling since we were in Naples, gentlemen.
No. That's the best that's the best feeling I've had from an England goal for I think as long as I can remember.
Yeah.
To be fair, Daniel Sturridge is against Wales. And
yeah, that
not
was
the
that
same.
Was it isn't. It wasn't
it
quite
was
the
great,
same.
But you know, we,
papered over the cracks.
The bubble hasn't been burst yet.
Yeah.
You know, so it was. That was as much fun as I've ever had watching England.
Yeah.
Obviously, we had the football ramble party. Thank you to those of you that came down. It was
the atmosphere was incredible.
I need to say, you know, very very sorry for the few people that had to be turned away. Thank you for your good grace, though.
Fire regulations.
And I'm very sorry to the venue that was completely trashed.
Yeah.
I was stood on a chair for the first goal and I got so excited I punched the ceiling, damaging the ceiling and my hand. Just my hand. I didn't damage the ceiling.
Yeah, so now they haven't got to worry about who it was. Oh, no. We'll never find out because it's 200 people. No, it's on record.
No, they do know because the CCTV will show that it was the bloke who was dressed in the Japanese football kit.
Some Japanese guy turned up and punched the ceiling.
Punched the ceiling down.
Yeah. I've just remembered that we were in the Ace Hotel. It was a brace in the ace.
It was a brace for Kane. And when England started so quickly, and that's a hallmark we've learned to sort of get used to with England at the moment. They get caught up with sort of later in the game. They need to score early because otherwise, if they don't make it count, it's hard to see if they can keep up the tempo. When we scored early, we had so many chances, and the keeper, who sadly had to go off injured,
made
a brilliant save before Kane followed it up. Did you see Gareth Southgate, the video for Gareth Southgate on the bench?
Yeah, where's Harry?
There he is. Yeah, it's brilliant. Anyway, and then, of course, we get pegged back, and you go into half-time thinking, that, well, you start off thinking, that's the best bet gone.
Yep.
Because it was England half time, England full time.
Yeah, that was annoying.
And then we toil and toil and toil, and you think it's going to go the same way as it's always gone. And I was thinking, oh, God, this is such a letdown.
Yep.
But we finally get on the end of a good touch of fortune after what I thought, and you guys can come in on this, and maybe I'm being biased, and I'd be interested to know what people at home thought. But I thought that was by far the worst refereeing performance of the tournament by a long way. I watched it back this morning. Mm. The refereeing was genuinely very poor. For the first time, I have to say, notwithstanding all this VAR stuff, which I'm not going to get into, but just the pure refereeing performance, mm-hmm. I thought was very poor. And I thought England could feel exceptionally hard done by had they not won that game.
A lot of wrestling.
I think Harry Kane said that it was good that the referee let the game flow.
I think it was excellent that England managed to overcome what looked like that sort of adversity. We've seen that story happen so many times. We were hoping that VAR would fix these sort of things as well. And for whatever reasons, it didn't seem to last night. I don't think it was a penalty for Tunisia. And I also think Harry Kane was wrestled to the ground twice and we didn't see it. But England just didn't worry about that, just got on with it, kept plugging away. I thought it was a fantastic performance from England. It was just beautiful too.
Do you think not there was a big, good sort of half an hour in the second half where it was Sven-Göran Eriksson, ponderous, slow, not really knowing how to apply the ball. There was a real problem. They didn't have a ball-playing midfielder who could actually unlock a defence.
But
if we get out of the group, which I think we probably will with that result, because it was such an important one, I think, we won't be facing teams who sit back so much, or maybe will. I don't know.
We might face teams that can hurt us.
Yeah, yes, exactly. Well, exactly. But they overcame that. There was a lot of impressive displays. Obviously, Harry Kane wasn't hugely involved in the game, but he was clinical when we needed him. It was very much a sort of Harry Lineker performance from him, which is absolutely what we needed.
Lineker's reaction was lovely in the BBC studio in Russia.
Trippier as well, I think, has been singled out for a lot of plays and deservedly so. I think everything he did was superb. He was England's most positive player. He was absolutely fantastic. And I enjoyed Harry Maguire sort of roaming forward like a farmhand, eager to prove he can plough his own furrow.
My favourite thing about the whole thing...
He looks like that as well.
Very much so. There was not one, but two lovely England pylons. We never get a pylon.
No, it's true.
Now, admittedly, you know, the first one, had it ended 1-1, it would have been disappointing. But the pylon, Jesse Lingard leaping on top of it right at the end.
Probably missed it, did he?
Whee! but the importance of the result can't be understated. And Gary Neville said that you can't trust England to recover from a bad first result, and said, you know, I know that. He said, I used to be a part of the problem. I think it's a touch harsh on himself, but you get the picture. And he said the media the next day had been negative headlines and so on and so forth. Yeah. Not just negative, they'd been reported on what happened, you know, which was a disappointing result. And the same old deja vu feeling. And to be perfectly honest with you, when Tunisia scored, and then Lingard, who I thought was actually unlucky when he hit the post.
Yes.
With that chance. When that chance happened, I had exactly the same feeling come into me that I had when England were playing Iceland after about 35, 40 minutes when I was watching the game, and I just thought, England will lose this.
Pegged.
England will lose this too. They won't score again. And I just suddenly thought, we're not going to score again. And I remember thinking, it's so disappointing because England had missed so many chances and should have put the game away, really, in the first sort of 20, 30 minutes, you could argue.
Yeah.
And I just sat there. And then in the second half, England were a bit ponderous. There was a lot of sideways passing. Tunisia looked, as you say, Pete, they dug in and looked fairly comfortable. There was a few moments, but if you know what I mean. And I just thought, this is the same old thing. But when that goal goes in, you need a bit of good fortune. Harry Kane had been given the treatment on corners and so on. Unmarked at the back post.
Yeah, it's phenomenal.
I don't
think the goalkeeper knew he was there.
No.
If it's a really odd goal.
The goalkeeper's movement.
He didn't even move.
It's strange.
Yeah, it was strange.
And we will take it all day long, but England, you can spin this a number of ways. You can say, you know what, we bloody well won, good teams win, and of course if the Germans had done that to Mexico and managed to grind out a win, or even got a draw, you'd say, they know what they're doing. But the few concerns is Tunisia looked more comfortable than England playing the ball from out the back.
Yeah,
they did.
Yeah, but you say that. That's a fair enough observation. But Tunisia aren't looking to win. Tunisia had aside from the penalty, which I actually thought probably was a penalty at odds with Jim, but that's by the by. Tunisia didn't have a shot on target the whole game.
No, but I'm talking about playing it out from the back.
Fine. Well, I understand that, but you that's fine. But they had absolutely no ambition at all. I thought they looked comfortable playing out for the back for about 20 minutes in the second half because England tired badly. Mm-hmm. And the reason England tired badly, I think,
they were inhaling flies.
Yeah, well, they might have been. Yeah, so there might have been something to do with it. But partly because, Marcus, England didn't make changes quick enough. The players they've got, the players they've got are energetic, quick players. And if you get to an hour in, and that sort of it looked quite humid there.
It was, yeah.
The conditions were quite difficult, and you're the only team who is pushing for the win and pushing to do. You need to refresh people's legs. The reason they dropped off massively for 20-25 minutes is because England had to take a breath. They had to slow it down, get their breath back, and go again. And that gave Tunisia an opportunity. I think it's no coincidence that they looked quite good because England went.
And also the subs that came on looked really good. So I mean, that's probably
such a shame with the Rashford one when Lingard clearly gave him a shout. Rashford looked so annoyed after. But for me, a striker, I'd have just hit that because there's the chance, you know. Yeah. Although I suppose if you hear the shout, but
with the whole tournament though, how many teams have actually played how you'd expect? Teams like Mexico
Iceland.
Have played well. Teams like Mexico yeah. have played better than you'd expect. Yeah, probably Iceland, but they got a result of sorts. Germany have underwhelmed. I think there's only really Spain who've played you'd expect.
Yeah, and
we played. We didn't play better than ourselves. We kind of played. Sort of what you'd expect in that conditions against that kind of football team. I think getting that win was so important, and it takes the pressure off the Belgium match.
And it gives us confidence. It gives us confidence because we missed a lot of chances. We still come out and won the game. So those chances will not automatically be playing on people's minds. Mm. But if you said to me going into the game, England will start really fast, they'll get a goal, they'll drop off in terms of their intensity in the second half, and they'll nick a win. I just said that sounds pretty realistic to me. Yeah. And that's actually essentially, it's a bit more dramatic than that, but that's essentially what we got.
I think England moved the ball very well. I have a tactic when watching England, particularly when we're all watching England together, which is to effectively man-mark Speller. Because if you want to see a pure expression of joy, it's watching Marcus see an England goal.
And it should be on our social media feed.
Yeah, it's all over the place. Yeah, so I remember you saying at half-time you were worried that England weren't going to score, but I was confident that they would because they were crafting chances. They were very positive throughout the game, and I thought they passed the ball very, very well. There was a few times they were guilty of perhaps overplaying it from the back. John Stones had a hairy moment, didn't he? I think Jordan Pickford had a strange distribution on one point as well. But I just felt that was basically as much as you could realistically ask for from England in an opening game, particularly having been pegged and then overcoming it.
Sure, so, I think
very positive.
Jordan Henderson looked good in that role.
Yes.
It will be interesting to see if they were playing opposition that come at England because he did have a bit of space to play and so on. Yeah, and so some of the passes he made were great. Trippier was a plus, but one big plus for me. Now this could be because maybe Tunisia are not that great at defending set pieces or whatever. But Michael Cox wrote a piece recently about England lacking in set pieces, you know. And obviously when Harry Kane, I can't remember if I mentioned this before, but the reason why Harry Kane was on corners is because he went to Hodgson and Ray Lewington in Euro 2016 and said, if you look at it, guys, I think I've only scored once from a corner all season or something like that. But actually, I'm quite confident at taking corners. He then started taking corners in training and was delivering fantastic balls into the box. And so that Hodgson and Lewington were like, oh, hang on, we've got something here. Because they didn't really have a particular corner taker, you know. And England probably haven't really had a good one since Beckham or maybe Gerrard delivering set pieces.
We have. I don't know why, you know, we talk about certain players in the England side who like a dive every now and again. I don't know why we bother, because we're not great at dead balls delivering-wise, anyway.
That's what old Coxie was saying. So anyway, going back to Hodgson and Lewington, they put Kane on corners, and then during the games, it just didn't happen. Right. And they're a bit like, oh, what's happened here? So that was the situation there. But Cox said in the piece, sorry, Luke, but he said that England haven't had good dead ball takers and free kick takers and corner takers. And England, both goals came from corners. England looked good from corners again. And it is, if you look at the statistics again in this piece he wrote, the goals England have scored from corners in previous tournaments and how they've looked with Beckham there and so on, actually, it's quite significant. So that is a real plus for me, the way Trippier was delivering the ball, the way England were playing. Stones, that made great head, a wonderful save from the keeper. And then Kane gets the rebound.
Yeah, I thought that Harry Kane business was a bit of a red herring anyway. I'm pretty sure Thierry Henry used to take corners for Arsenal. No one talked about that. England weren't a very good team at that point. The comparison I wanted to bring to the table, just purely because of the coincidence of the date. I mean, 8 years ago to the day yesterday, England played other North African opposition in Algeria at World Cup 2010.
Oh, blimey.
Who showed a similar level of ambition to Tunisia. And England were woeful. They drew 0-0. It was awful. It was arguably the worst game of England I've ever seen.
Yeah, and I would include the Iceland game in that. That was the nadir of boring England.
Yeah, and England like last night, I mean, you look at the stats and you look at how much they dominated the game. Look, it's not possible. We talked about this in context of Liverpool. I'm not saying England are as good a team as Liverpool were last season, but you can't play that nippy, pressing, quick game for 90 minutes.
No.
It doesn't happen. Mm. So England start off fast. They end up with about 18 shots throughout the game. They dominate possession. They're much better in every area than Tunisia, and they win the game. It's the first game of the World Cup. A couple of days ago, we were sitting there talking about France.
It's the first game.
Exactly.
It's the first game.
But there's 3 points on the board.
But if Tunisia had scored from open play, would it have been a different situation?
Well, they never
mentioned. It's never going to happen.
They never.
They never shot on target.
A couple of damning stats. England scored.
Stones on goal. Cruyff 10.
England scored more than once for the first time in the World Cup since that 2-2 draw against Sweden in 2006.
10 matches in that time.
The first time that an England player has scored a brace in a World Cup game since Gary Lineker in 1990.
Mad. That's a mad stat.
That is ridiculous.
And do you know what? It's hard to get the context of how good teams are and how well prepared they are at this tournament until we get into the second round of group games where we see, maybe Tunisia will give Belgium a real run for their money, because Panama looked terrible, which we'll come on to. If Tunisia look really great against Belgium, you think, well, hang on, they're quite a robust, difficult team to break down. And Belgium, with all their players, found it difficult. You don't know the context of how good the result is until you get into the second round of group games and then the third round of group games. But the important thing is England won. The important thing is also there are improvements to be made, and I hope Southgate makes them. One, he's got to make substitutions earlier. He needs to identify when the players are tired and they can't go again.
Well, Ali had a slight injury.
Well, I think.
He also needs to. He also needs to make sure that if a player doesn't perform well or isn't playing as well as he can be, he knows he's got other options. So what I'm thinking is,
we haven't mentioned Sterling.
I'd put Rose in for Young, for example, with the Panama game. I'd think about starting Rashford, maybe at the expense of Sterling in that game too.
And definitely rest Ali as well. Like if he's got a strain, why risk him for a game that we could probably do
win without him? Well.
Yeah, this is where we're really missing Oxlade-Chamberlain, who's the only option. Really, aside from Loftus-Cheek
was good when he came. Did you see, by the way, did you guys see that Peter Shilton called Ruben Loftus-Cheek Rufus Creek on the radio?
I like that.
The
other day.
Like Jonathan Creek.
Yeah, Rufus Creek. It took me ages. It was such a bad one. It took me a while to work out who he was actually talking about.
Do you know what? In the game, the way Tunisia, and fair play to Tunisia, they did not wind up England, but they did were a bit niggly and quite dogged and so on. And that's, we talked about the Swiss doing that to Brazil. They have to do that. And it nearly worked for Tunisia. They were unlucky, in the context of it with the late goal. But I just thought to myself, do you know what? Jamie Vardy would love a bit of this. He would love it.
Do you reckon? They've defended very deep. Though,
yeah. Winding the opposition up and all the rest of it. That's what I mean, the context of the game.
He could get a red card, but yeah.
But wait, he hardly ever gets sent off. I can't remember. Maybe one red card I can remember for Jamie Vardy. But also, the pressing and all the rest of it, chasing around. I thought that he could have been there. But I suppose Kane and Vardy in the same side maybe wouldn't good. But Southgate showed his joy, didn't he, when the second went in. And then the fans after the game, when he was celebrating with them. And it was wonderful to see that with Southgate, because he's been so calm and collected. He had that moment of joy. And then back in the interviews with the press and so all the rest of it, back to the calm exterior. And he said, I would have been proud of the players, even if it finished 1-1. He's making all the right noises again.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's been good. He seems like he's got a pretty firm hand on the tiller. It will be fascinating to see if we get to the stage where we play against a team, as Pete mentioned earlier, who come at us.
Yes.
Because we'll have to ride our luck, because I don't think we're brilliant defensively. But if they leave gaps, we should be able to exploit them. And I think it's really important that we came out with a win for obvious reasons, but also because all these chances that our players missed will no longer be preying on their mind, and they won't be going, oh, if only this, if only that. It's like if you make a big mistake in a game, say you score an own goal, but then you go and win the game 4-1.
Yeah.
I imagine you hardly ever think about that ever again.
Yeah.
But if it's a key own goal that you lose a really important game, it's going to be on your mind for possibly forever.
And we'll come on to the Belgian performance, but I think the way that Martinez has them set up, I know they scored a few goals against poor opposition, but he plays Kevin De Bruyne very, very deep, and he has to come back, and Lukaku has to come back for the ball quite a lot. And I'd sort of go, you know what? I reckon England could get a result there. And it might not even matter. It might be a bit of a dead rubber, but by that point in the competition. But
do you De Bruyne impression?
No.
that is exactly where Jamie Vardy comes in, isn't it? Yeah. I really, really want to see Jamie Vardy score a goal for England at the World Cup.
Jim, can I just say, just for clarity, Pete's De Bruyne impression is very much a vocal impression, not a football related.
He's doing it right now.
Yeah. It's very good. Keep you up. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, well, let's talk about Belgium and Sweden as well in the second half.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Rodriguez! Oh, moment of magic!
Welcome back to the World Cup Ramble, everybody.
Let's do a bit more in England.
Yeah, a little
bit bloody
more.
Well won! We won again!
Still hate the band.
Yeah. Oh, we should say we are quite exhausted.
Pete, how gutted were you that England won?
Pete was loving it, come on.
Yeah. Welcome back to the World Cup Ramble, sponsored by Bet365. Starting the show again.
Yeah. Oh, well,
not getting involved.
Have you got a bit of correspondence there, old sport?
No.
All right. Sorry. Just
what's wrong with you, Marcus?
Yeah. Okay. Fair
if,
enough.
If I've got correspondence, mate, you'll hear about it.
Sorry. Well, Marcus, you thought Pete was doing his job.
I'll come at you direct, mate.
The way you flipped
he's that Romelu Lukaku.
He's only just found his glasses again.
Yeah. Yes, thank you to Lord Ramble for finding my glasses in a very... and then I had my light on, my flashlight on my phone on to look for my glasses. Cool, Lord cool, Ramble cool. found it. and yeah, and then later on, I didn't realise I hadn't turned it off. It was like a good 2 hours later. I just had a big light on my phone.
We can talk more about that. Or we can talk about Belgium.
Let's talk about Belgium.
Okay.
I was trying to restart
your decision.
It. You wanted to sing like the England band. I was on. Didn't they get banned from the stadium last tournament?
No, I think we campaigned heavily for it.
I think that was at one point there was an issue with their tickets or visas or something.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm not anti the England band.
You want a part of it, that's why.
Not necessarily pro, I'm not anti. Just let them live, let them be.
We don't want to kill them. We just want to shut them up.
Let them blow, Jim. Let them blow.
They certainly blow.
Belgium beat Panama 3-0. It was a good win for Belgium. You can't deny Mertens with a lovely one.
Yeah. They weren't up against much. Panama frustrated them heavily in the first half. I watched the first half with interest because they found it quite difficult to break them down, which is odd. They had a lot of chances, of course.
When you say it's odd, I mean, Panama, they've got the game plan. Yeah. They got them to half-time and then I thought...
Absolutely.
Went to plan for Belgium.
Well, Mertens came in with that beautiful goal just after half-time, which settled them down. And that was one of those goals, almost like a Coutinho goal. For Brazil, it wasn't as good as that, I don't think, but it was like, here's a piece of magic, right, we can all relax a
bit. That's right,
yeah.
And they did.
And obviously Belgium went on to win because Panama don't have an awful lot of quality. I think Panama looked several levels below Tunisia, personally. But having
said
that,
Tunisia are 21st, I think.
Quite. And having said that, Mark, because England had more shots against Tunisia than Belgium did against Panama, and Panama had more shots against Belgium than Tunisia did against England.
Impressive.
So it's not the be all and end all that they've just rolled over Panama 3-0. Lukaku was obviously a decent quality striker and was able to take his chances and all that kind of stuff. They've got so much quality, Belgium. But what it will come down to for them is how good their manager is when the going gets tough. For me, I think I don't want to go over the top on England. I'm not necessarily saying this because it's England, but you find a lot more about a team when it's difficult than you do when it's easy. And it was difficult for England last night and they came through it.
Yeah.
Belgium haven't really faced any real difficulty yet. So we don't know. I don't think we know enough about them yet.
Sure. But then in qualifying, you know, they equaled the record for the amount of goals scored in qualifying. They're
a dog of a group. Their group was horrendous.
Sure. But they've entered the tournament and they've won 3-0. And I know you can say it against Panama and it is the first game. But if you're Belgium, you are much more relaxed about the tournament now. You're quite done. Happy. Exactly.
I'm not trying to spin it as some sort of poor result for them.
No.
I'm just saying, as I said earlier, you don't really know the context until you see a few more teams play a couple more times.
And also, a bit like Harry Kane, you know, Lukaku's up and running.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's a huge plus. The way he took his second goal as well was beautiful.
It was a very beautiful finish.
FIFA-y dink, wasn't it? Dries Mertens dived after 7 minutes against Panama. Ben. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
But his goal was a beauty, wasn't it? And, you know, as I've been saying, I think it's just job done for Belgium. There's not really much more you could expect them to do from that. And Lukaku was clearly trying to fill his boots against weaker opposition.
Did you enjoy the Kevin De Bruyne pass to Lukaku for the header?
You know, part of the tournament, if such a thing is a...
Okay.
Yeah, outside of the boot, like, lofted assist.
A lofted cheek ball.
A Rufus...
Creeched,
whatever it was.
Rufus Creek, yeah. Well, you know, Tunisia are 12-1 to beat Belgium next time around. So £10 on that will return £130 including the stake. Should they surprise the big boys? I think Tunisia might sort of frustrate Belgium in quite a big way.
Mm. Yeah, in the way they frustrate England.
But you know what really will play against us though in this group is the fact that Tunisia now need to win against Belgium realistically. Mm-hmm. And so they're going to have to, I mean, they're either going to just stink the place out for no reason and go home anyway, or they're going to try and win.
Yeah.
And if they're going to try and win, there's a chance they'll get picked off.
That's true. That is true.
But it's a good win for Belgium. Don't make no bones about it.
Shame for Panama, of course, who picked up 5 bookings. The Panama manager, Hernan Dario Gomez, played down suggestions. They were a dirty side saying, "We do not try to hurt anyone. We have good intentions."
Ooh. I think, well, you know, they're just a bit... Limited, slower, aren't they?
I did enjoy their when they sung the national anthem. The manager and the players, they looked so emotional.
The support was beautiful.
Yeah, when the national anthem was being played, and without sounding patronising, and they'll probably get a point off England and mug us all off, but you know, it's wonderful. These stories still exist
absolutely.
In football.
Marcus, and it's not patronising because it's absolutely legitimate and valid to say that for some teams, some nations, qualifying for the World Cup is massive for them.
Yeah, cool.
Anything apart from that, you know, Panama aren't coming to this going, "Oh, we want a quarter final here."
Yeah.
They're thinking, "We're delighted to be here. We've qualified in a group with some good teams in it, and we're now playing against teams like Belgium and England." Yeah. And it's massive for them.
And they're at the party.
Absolutely,
I mean, it's a national day when they qualify.
It's wonderful. Right. And this is the first World Cup. Get the first World Cup done. Get a taste for it and go, right, we want more of that.
Yeah,
and
look
at a side like Costa Rica, who've got a little bit more history, of course, in the competition than their neighbours, Panama.
Yeah, they're a mainstay.
But, you know, last quarterfinal for crying out loud. You know, who knows what Panama could do in the future? But it's the inspiring of younger generations, all that kind of chat, and so on and so forth. And who knows? They could get their first World Cup goal against old England.
Also, one of the things that I think has been really, really interesting about this World Cup is, you know, we've all been saying, like, a lot of the bigger sides have sort of stuttered or haven't perhaps been quite as dominant as you'd expect, Belgium aside. And I wonder if that is because if you look throughout the teams, there are pretty much in every team, Panama aside, really, they play in top leagues. You know, even Iceland, we know all about Iceland's population. They've got Premier League players in there. Like, it is levelling out.
Saudi Arabia don't.
Yeah, Saudi Arabia would be another good example. But even they've tried to rectify that, haven't they, with a lot of loan moves before it. So it isn't quite as mismatched that it has been in the past, and it's made it really interesting.
Well, I think all the Swedish players don't play outside of Sweden, or certainly most of them do anyway. But Sweden did beat South Korea. Of course, let's move on to that group. Not a classic.
I think it was the first proper start-to-finish kind of stinker.
Let me give you a stat to back that up. The first shot in the match came after exactly 20 minutes, which was the second longest wait for an attempt in any World Cup match since 1966.
Wow. It was just weird from South Korea, because I expected them to come out of the blocks and just have a crack at them. but they just didn't.
They were disappointed.
They were settling for a draw from the first whistle. It's just weird.
Probably because they thought Germany are easy picking.
Yeah. do we still judge South Korea based on their 2002 team and expect them to be really energetic?
Well, we shouldn't do.
We judge on the fact that they've got a really good footballing son, but they don't have, you know, Harry Kane and Dele Alli and all those players around. Exactly. And
the reason why we shouldn't is because in 2014 they didn't win a match.
Yes,
much like England, but they did look disappointing, and Son was very disappointed himself and said, you know, I didn't inspire the side or anything.
Well, he was just doing a lot of tracking back, wasn't he?
Yeah, he had a couple of moments, one or two sort of textbook runs, but Sweden should have been ahead earlier. That miss from Berg, I mean, the keeper made a good save, but there's no way he should be making that save.
Would have been the first goal from a Marcus at the tournament.
It would have been.
I thought Rashford was going to...
And that's why I feel for you badly, because he should have buried that.
The Marcus Union are hurting.
The Marcus I will get off them.
Yeah. You think Rashford will probably get a chance next time around, I would have thought.
You'd hope so. The Swedish former Wigan man as well. He's only 33.
He's been around for a long time.
He was born at the bottom of a hill, wasn't he?
Yeah.
But the penalty was, of course, awarded by VAR. But he came the oldest man since St. Martin Palermo at the age of 36 in 2010 to score on a World Cup debut. I mean, that's not that long ago, but a mensch for Palermo is always nice.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the miracle. Could he be helicoptered in?
But Sweden did look the better side. They know their game plan, which is... the same game plan when they're ever at a tournament, you know, but you know your plan, you know your limitations, you know your strengths. They were in a group with France, the Netherlands in qualifying, beat Italy, of course, in that playoff. So I wonder if, you know, and the thing is, you know, they've got Germany next. Germany, who are bottom of the group, by the way.
Okay, you're not going to qualify in bottom, Germany.
but I wonder, with Sweden, who have got a win under their belts, they don't need to go out and win that game against Germany. They can... sit in and be dogged and determined.
Don't give Germany a win. That's the most important thing.
Well, if Germany, you know, a point there for Sweden. They'd take that all day long against Germany. You know, they can set up like Tunisia did against England. We're talking about these sides, Iceland against Argentina.
Does that mean we need to finish second then?
I don't worry about that. But I'm just saying it's interesting. These little narratives now creating.
Sweden are 8-1 to beat Germany in the next game. Ooh. £10 with Bet365 returns. £90 if those Swedes can pile more misery on our German cousins.
Well, Ed Lindelof withdrew from the side on the morning of the match due to illness. So hopefully he can
probably caught that off Mesut Ozil.
Do you guys want a quick Diego Maradona update?
Always.
Do we dare?
You don't know what he's doing with
that.
All I'm going to do...
run it past Pete first.
All I'm going to do is read the first paragraph of a BBC story. That's all I need to do.
All right.
And maybe a couple of bits in there. Argentina legend Diego Maradona says the team's draw with Iceland was a disgrace... and warned manager George Sampaoli he can't come back to Argentina playing like that. And then he followed that by saying, I get the feeling there's an anger at the heart of the team.
And at your heart, Diego.
Yeah.
You have an angry bin for a heart.
Yeah.
Oh, well,
I don't blame the players. I could blame the lack of work rate, but I can't blame the players, much less Messi, who gave it all he had. He just basically doesn't like Sampaoli.
Yeah, that's right.
Thermos head.
Yeah.
Well, there we are.
And Argentina play Croatia next as well.
Yes.
Not going to get any easier for them.
Certainly not, Luke Moore. Certainly.
This is brilliant.
Yes.
I'm having a little moment. It's so good.
Right, shall we talk a little bit about today's matches?
Yes.
Colombia against Pete Donaldson's Japan, as they're now known.
I did turn up to the match last night in a Japan shirt because I knew I had to run across town, and it was the most breathable fabric I had.
It's the sweatiest thing you can wear.
What do you mean?
It's the sweatiest thing you can wear.
It's a football
shirt.
Exactly. Football shirt,
it's designed to draw sweat from your body.
Nah.
Yeah, but he had his armpits lasered.
That's why you had a 5 meter radius around you.
He had his armpits
lasered.
That was
for other reasons.
There was a guy there last night, I forget his name, who he was wearing a Bayern Munich jumper.
Oh, that's right.
Bayern Munich.
I said this to him, and then he said, "Oh, I took it off for the match." He said the reason why he was wearing his Bayern Munich jumper was because it was the only football-y thing he had. Oh. Turn up in your boots, mate.
Yeah, no, he did have shin pads on.
Love that. Well, yes, Colombia against Japan. Falcao.
Yeah.
Finally, we get to see him at a World Cup. Obviously, we missed out last time. Yeah, and of course, James Rodriguez will hopefully be fit. I think there was concerns over his fitness. We want to see those two linking up.
Oh, 100%.
We want to see...
against England if we get him in the second round.
Certainly not. Cuadrado, we want to see him running at people.
Yeah.
And do we want to see David Ospina spilling a few?
No.
No.
I like Colombia.
No, we like Colombia.
Birdman as well.
I want to see the Burma. We like Colombia until they beat England, as you say. But we want to see one of their dancey celebrations, I think.
Yeah.
I tend not to like the dancey celebrations, but when the Colombians are all in unison, like the Ghanaians did in 2010, maybe 2006, enjoyable.
We want some South American flair, which has lacked so far, I think it's fair to say.
Yeah, it's true. Mm. It's true. We've not seen an awful lot of that. We've got no Chile, have we? That's why. Yeah,
Chile aren't there. We saw a bit of Brazilian.
A little bit of it from Brazil, yeah.
In nearly fact, from Peru. Oh, yeah,
Uruguay didn't quite bring it either.
Japan and Colombia have got a bit of history. Remember, Colombia went through when Japan didn't after. Was it 4-1 in the
They played each other in the group. Yeah, it was a 4-1. I think.
Japan had the chance to get out of the group, but they didn't.
Jackson Martinez might have got a couple that day. Poland are playing Senegal.
Yes.
This is an interesting one, because the Poles qualified quite well. And Senegal, they've got some players, there's no doubt about
that. They've got some quality in there, and it'll be interesting to see how they can if they can come to the fore.
Mm.
This is a fun group.
It is a fun group. There's some suggestions that Poland, they've got one or two players in there who are quite old now. Looks like they lack a bit of pace. And that's not what you want when you've got Sadio Mane lining up against you. What I did enjoy, the Senegal manager, Aliou Cissé, the former Birmingham Portsmouth player, of course.
Yeah, he didn't play for Portsmouth very long.
Oh, just a mensch, though.
I think it was one season,
Be happy with the mensch. He was very much going on about how good Mane is, and he said, Sadio Mane is a unique player, and he cannot be compared to any other Senegal player, even the major ones we've had in the past. They've had actually one, Saidu Keita, they had some good players.
Said, on the Poland front, do you think they'll play? Oh, sorry, go on.
I was going to say, he said, Senegal isn't only about Sadio Mane. He has a good team built around him, and I think it should be a little plus for him that we're all behind him. Mm. You said it's not all about him, and then you said, well, we're all behind him.
Yeah. Saidu Keita was a Malian player, should be pointed out.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, absolutely right. They've got some good players. Keita Balde, obviously highly rated.
Yeah. I'm getting my Keitas mixed up.
Idrissa Gueye, obviously of Everton. Couple of obviously check out Kiate as well. We'll be playing, actually. But Poland, am I right in saying they play with Lewandowski and Milik up front? They start both players, do they?
They have FIFA.
Right, that's not research. I think against their most recent warm up game was against Lithuania, and I think both of them started. But some of those players like Blaszczykowski and Piszczek, and obviously they're a lot older now.
Yeah.
Those Borussia Dortmund legends, if you like. They're older now. I mean, I think Blaszczykowski will win his 100th cap in the game if he plays.
He might well do. Yeah.
I mean, and obviously they've got a few players here and there. Chesney, of course, is a decent goalkeeper. I mean, I always look at this. I'm looking at this in context of who I think England will go through now. So who England could play, and I think I would probably rather play Poland than Senegal or Colombia. I think
I'd agree with that. Yeah. Mm. Well, when asked about Lewandowski, Cisse said, "We've no particular plan to stop him. Just a collective plan to beat Poland."
Yeah, that's fair enough.
Well, this is the thing, you know, and this is a theme these themes sort of come up organically throughout the tournament. And you look at, and we've talked a lot about key players, highlight real players playing for different countries who are getting treatment, who are getting covered, who are getting double marked. And it's the responsibility of the other players to come to the fore. And you could say exactly the same thing we've said about Messi and with Neymar, about Lewandowski for Poland. Mm. And you could say it about Harry Kane in England. Mm. If Harry Kane's getting
hugged.
Yeah, I don't want to go back to the England thing wholesale, but a referee, I don't think, can win you or lose you a game, really. He hasn't got the power to do that.
But those other England players need to take the chance.
Quite. But if he's going to continue to ignore Harry Kane getting fouled over and over again, the other players can be weak about it and say, oh, that's an excuse to go home and not do anything. Or they can use it to their advantage and say, look, if Harry Kane's going to be marked by two or three players, we need to exploit that space.
Absolutely.
And that's what Poland will have to do if Lewandowski gets the treatment, and players like Milik will have to step up and do that.
To be honest, Lewandowski, he's looked a little bit leggy towards the end of the season. I'd be interested to see what happens here. I hope he has a good tournament, but
his goal scoring record, Marcus, though, even at international level, is incredible.
Well, okay. I'm sure he'll...
And he's got something like 150 goals in his last four seasons at Bayern Munich.
Yeah, I'm still not convinced.
41 last year he got.
41.
It's not too shabby, is it? Well, Russia are playing Egypt today. That'll be the second game.
Yeah.
So we can stop this. Well, I can stop this. It's the first game
you
business.
You can start drawing some conclusions.
You better bloody well draw some conclusions, Marcus Spiller, because I'm sick of your excuses.
Right, well, Mo Salah will hopefully be fit.
Well, he needs to play.
Hopefully. Yeah, but if he's crocked,
They have to risk it.
If he's crocked, he shouldn't be in the squad.
Yeah.
They should be giving that to a healthy player.
He's there as a calculated risk, so I think they're going to take that risk now.
Egypt need a win.
Yeah, you can't lose your first. If you lose your first game, you're in big trouble. They have to roll the dice.
I'll tell you what, though, the hosts, you know, we're worried about them before the tournament. A win, yeah, and they're through to the next round.
Feels like forever ago.
Most likely.
Good example, similar to Belgium, that Russia have had a brilliant first game, but they've come up against nothing. Absolutely nothing.
Absolutely.
So we'll find
nothing.
Out what they're made of.
Indeed. Luke, what is our best bet?
Yeah, it's time for a best bet. I said I'd be peppering these shows with best bets, didn't I? Well, my England bet didn't quite come off because
of the referee.
That slug of a referee. And combined with Carl Walker, meant that we were drawing at half-time with Tunisia before going on to win. But do not fail because... I do not fail? Do not worry because there's a...
Well, don't fail as
I'll
well.
I'll fail.
Yeah.
There's another best bet around the corner. I've gone for both teams to score in Portugal v Morocco at 11-10.
Oh, Bernard's men need it. They need a goal.
I think they showed... They deserve more than they got against Iran. I think we can agree. Portugal were probably flattered by how well Cristiano Ronaldo played.
Yep.
I still think they could concede. I think they've got weak areas in their team.
Both sides actually need a win. It's strange to think after Portugal's
quite
finished, but they need a win.
So it should be open. So both teams to score in Portugal v Morocco, 11-10. £50 with Bet365 returns. £105 including stake. Should both teams hit the net? All proceeds go to Prostate Cancer UK, of course. And you must be over the age of 18 to gamble and do gamble responsibly. For more information, go to begambleaware.org. Keep a lookout for that. We're looking for a winner.
Winner!
Winner, winner, chicken dinner!
Damn right, Pete Donaldson. Right, there we are, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for listening to the World Cup Ramble, sponsored by Bet365. We're all off for a little siesta before the matches because there are some tired faces in the studio.
But we will be back tomorrow, of course.
Absolutely right, Luke. Absolutely.
The World
right.
Cup feels like already that it's never going to end.
Of course. And on Wednesday, we got on the continent.
Indeed, we'll be back on the continent on Wednesday, so don't miss that. Yes. James Horncastle in the studio with Marcus and I, and some people on the phone that I haven't quite decided yet, but they'll be exciting and they'll be in Russia, so it'll be good.
Yeah, whoever picks up.
Yeah, basically, I'll dial out numbers. If someone picks up, great.
That's it.
Marcus's
that's it.
Dad.
Yeah. Is your dad in Russia again?
He said he wasn't.
Corruption charges.
Well, speaking of which, you see Sepp Blatter. Might be, which game is he going to be? Portugal, Iran?
Yeah.
Is it Portugal, Iran?
Be there.
Morocco.
He's got a standing invite from Vladimir Putin.
That's right.
Even though he's banned from all football activities. But as someone said in the WhatsApp group earlier, you can't keep a good man down. You cannot keep a good man down. Speaking of which, Harry Kane, you can't keep him down.
Damn right.
Despite referee corruption at the highest level.
Say goodbye, Luke Moore.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Jimmy.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Petey.
Goodbye.
It's goodbye from me. And London. London, goodbye.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year. just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.